right, so, I'm ready to go. Jimmy, you ready to go?
Yep, ready to go.
Curtis, ready to go?
Ready.
Angry Dog Chicken? Okay, are you ready?
Okay.
Doan. James Doan.
Where is 006.9 now?
He's on a mission, sir.
Do you expect me to talk?
An excellent plan, Mr. Doan. Look out, James!
Let me try and enlarge your vocabulary.
Hey, my drink!
The biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government.
Choose your next witticism carefully.
I want to be covered in drugs.
One day we must invent a faster working venom.
Yeah!
They cannot counterfeit gold.
The only gold I know about is the kind you wear.
Every law is backed by bullets.
Bullets do not kill. It is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Doom, I like that.
James! Woo-wee!
Yes, yeah. We're back.
We're back.
When was the last one?
It was a month ago.
Yeah. What,
was it in March?
No, April.
Okay, so we did.
April 5th.
Yeah.
April 5th. Okay. All right, let me just make sure.
We're back.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're back anyway. Okay. And we're missing Jack Rhodes, but that's okay, I guess.
This is the Jimmy Doan Show.
Jimmy Doan Show. We have Counselor Curtis.
I'm here to interrupt Jimmy a little bit.
Okay, that's good. And our engineer.
I'll put a link to it.
That's it. Oh, come on.
I got to support new people, man. He's gone.
F-bomb.
F-bomb.
That's it. So today is,
what's going on, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm a little slow on the sound effects today.
April 26th.
But it's still Earth Day, right?
Right, Earth Day. Well, you know, you saw what happened on Earth Day.
What happened?
The Earth exploded?
No, it didn't. Actually, we're still here. But the one thing, and actually, I was going to wait for this for the light notes, but it actually goes right into this. You know that Hugo's pal...
Hugo.
That's right. This is sort of a corollary Hugo update.
Is Paolo Morales?
That's it. Is, yes.
Senora Morales?
Yes, Morales of Bolivia. Bolivia is planning to draft a United Nations treaty, giving, quote, Mother Earth the same rights as humans.
I love it. I love it.
Bolivia this month will draft a United Nations treaty giving Mother Earth the same rights as humans, having just passed a domestic law that does the same for bugs, trees, and all other natural things in the South American country. The bid aims to have the UN recognize the Earth as a living entity that humans have sought to dominate and to, quote, dominate and exploit, to the point that the well-being and existence of many beings is now threatened.
It's hard to believe.
I'd like to subpoena the Earth, please.
Yeah, exactly. To testify.
The Earth, please take the stand.
That's right.
Get up there.
So they have
just invert the chair.
Bolivia's law of the rights of Mother Earth. The document speaks of the country's natural resources as blessings and grants the Earth a series of specific rights that include the right to life, water, and clean air, the right to repair livelihoods affected by human activities, and the right to be free from pollution. Pissing on the ground. No shitting in the woods. Okay. It also establishes, this is about a ministry of Mother Earth.
Of course it does. It has to.
And provides the planet with an ombudsman whose job is to hear nature's complaints.
Right.
As voiced by activists and other groups, including. So you're talking about putting your... you know, you talk about putting your ear to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, I know all of y'all groups said this, but I'm telling you, I was talking to nature.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, I mean, this gets right back into the... It's
me and nature, we go way back. I knew her when she was just a little tiny thing.
Yeah. Well, of course, it says the application of the law appears to be destined to pose new challenges for companies operating in the country, which is rich in natural resources, including natural gas, lithium, and remains one of the poorest in Latin America. So anyway, the beauty of this, I mean, I love this, is, like you say, you can subpoena, I guess, or something. But this is going to go back to literally
sue us for robbery of natural resources.
Yes, how do you pay it back?
Right. Well,
human sacrifice. This is what they used to do down there in Bolivia.
Absolutely.
This is all coming. It's a complete circle. No. This is Inca time. This is Aztec time. It's all the same. It's all coming back. If you offend the earth and the priest comes out, he's all right. Dressed up, and you slaughter the young virgin and rip her heart out.
Right. The calendar's ending here in just a little bit, so it's time for a new one, and this is the first stage.
Payback.
That's right. Payback. The earth is going to pay us back. So anyway, I see that the head of state.
That tsunami was just like a little tongue
that's
lashing.
Right. That was a little hint of things to come.
Right. Right.
A little warning shot across the bow.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
That's it.
A hiccup 9.0.
That's it.
And Jimmy, just for clarification, just for clarification's sake, just so everybody knows why that kind of a thing is a ridiculous thing, it's because that the ombudsman naturally has to do an interpretation of nature.
Again, he's a priest.
I know.
Just like a priest in the Inca times, exactly.
Right, right.
I have a direct line to earth.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, it's
because
like
what
Todd
it comes
Kuntz,
down to...
It's like Todd Kuntz, the charlatan preacher on TV, who, or the other guy that holds his hand up to put your hand on the screen and you will receive miracle blessings.
yeah.
I want $1,000 seed. I mean, I got this letter from Ethel, in Montgomery, and she has cancer.
And now
she's
healed.
I'm going to pray on this letter right now, on this stack of letters. I'm going to pray, and you all will be healed.
Uh-huh.
And which, of course, I wonder.
Oh crap! Ethel's letter wasn't in there.
Yeah, right. Dang. Somehow it got lost.
Vaporized.
Well, the problem
couch.
Was it didn't have a check in
her Cheeto.
I put my hand on this stack of checks that I've received.
That's right.
No letters. Hello, over here. They're just right over there. But the stack of checks right here.
The important one.
Right.
That's right. This is the important paper. Just make sure you sign this piece of paper.
That's right. It's a
little rectangular.
Well,
one.
Yeah. So, I mean, the ombudsman always has to interpret nature, which means it always comes down from a scientific perspective to his perspective.
So, right. It is right out of the, 14th century Inca, right. Whatever it is. I mean, as I say, I wouldn't doubt that they're going to put up a pyramid and start, slaughtering people. I mean, you got to think about it. If somebody offends the earth and is judged guilty,
ooh.
What do you do? You
bury him.
Yeah, you put him back in the earth.
Buried alive.
That's right. you put him back in the earth. That's exactly right. So anyway, yeah.
You take too much oil out. Mm-hmm. You gotta put some oil back in.
That's it. That's right. And we don't have any dinosaurs, so
nope.
Gotta be
live humans.
That's it.
Live virgins.
That's it. Now, I mean, I would save the virgins. The virgins.
What would you throw in there, like a bunch of Yemenis?
Well, my competition, handsome
my
guys.
My competition.
I'd keep
young virile men.
That's right. I'd keep.
Ashton is the only suitor left on the
that's right.
The
no, I mean, and actually, a couple of virgins might go, but it's the sluts we want to keep out.
Right.
The girls who really know what they're doing.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, the big news to switch here. The big news this week is.
The big news!
The wedding.
Oh, wow!
The wedding!
Come on, man!
I got a thing from Stitch. I think this thing is going viral, and somebody has written he forwarded it to me, and I don't know who it is, but somebody wrote a note that said, boycott the wedding.
Yeah. Saw that.
And the idea was, I think it was serious. I think the guy was serious. He said, we're here in the United States, we bow to no one, we have no...
Who was the chick?
I don't have a clue. Again, I don't know. If you wanted... The thing about it was, if you know who this is, you're an American. So obviously I'm an American because I had
no
clue.
I didn't either. But she looked hot, and I wouldn't hold it against myself if I knew who she was.
Well, at my age, it wouldn't matter how hot or unhot. I'm taking it, just, hey, baby. It was so funny because there are some estimates that upwards of a billion or a billion and a half or more people are going to watch this
Get
wedding.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's true. And, of course, the only part I want to watch, Ms. Jimmy and her sister said they were going to take Friday off.
Wow.
And to watch the wedding, yeah.
Wait,
wedding's
I thought it was
Friday?
On Wednesday.
No, it's Friday.
Oh.
It's Friday. Starts at like, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning or something, 10 to 2 or something. I mean, because it's 5 hours difference.
Yeah.
So, whatever time they do it over there, it's a 4 or 5 hours difference to get here.
It's 3 a.m. is when they're broadcasting it over here. It's
bullshit.
Well, it says...
they might start, but the wedding itself I think the wedding itself is geared for British viewing and Eastern Coast United States or something, Hollywood. I don't know.
The priest starts his colloquy at 3 a.m. is basically...
Yeah, right. Well, no, you have some pregame festivities. Everybody's got to do the announcement. And they'll show the Diana story ad infinitum and the whole line, the history and so forth. So, and of course, what's his name? At least a couple of the prime ministers did not get invited.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they were snubbed, and as I was, and of course Obama was
as
snubbed.
I was.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. Stitch said he'd have gone in a heartbeat if they'd knight him.
Yeah.
Sir Stitch.
Sir Stitch, Lord.
Is Sir Mix-a-Lot going?
I don't know. So anyway, that's part of the big news is the Ved Inc., and fortunately that'll all be over, I guess. I mean, that's not one of those things that they can hang on for 24/7 past the wedding date, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know.
That's nothing. Flush that.
Yeah, well, they, and also there was some big deal.
Non-story.
There was some big deal about, apparently one of the big deals was that Prince Charming, or whatever his name is not going to do the first dance because he can't dance.
He's not going to kiss her. He's not going to do the first dance. He's not going to wear a wedding ring.
He's not going to wear the wedding ring.
Sounds
is
to
he,
me,
you know,
is he getting
gonna,
married?
Is he going to do the girl? Or what? I mean,
if he hadn't already.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, they did have to get married, so anyway.
Right.
So anyway, that's the big news. And then the other big news, of course.
And
other,
I apologize to all British subjects for that.
The other totally big news, of course, is Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
The Trumpster has...
Trump man.
Yeah, Trump man.
The Trump right. car.
That's right. Of course, he's brought up the birther thing.
Yes. Okay, Jimmy, now you're talking.
The birther.
Yeah, you're talking. All right, the show has started.
Now it's started.
All right,
you've done some big R research.
I've done little R.
I mean, what I saw, you've done everything except travel to Kenya yet.
Hey, guys, disclaimer here. We did a segment on the birther issue, but not even 12 hours later, the White House reportedly coughed up Obama's long-form birth certificate, so I hacked a bunch of this segment out. Anyway, I left a couple snippets in that I thought were good. Enjoy the rest of the show.
If there's a record, even a sensitive record, and it's in the courthouse, there's a dozen people that know what it is and where it is and have seen it. You know, different various clerks and custodians and such. I mean, where are all these people in this case? There should be a host of people surrounding his birth one place or another coming out. That is, nurses who say, I participated in it, doctors who say that.
You mean in Hawaii?
In Hawaii or Kenya or Kenya. Wherever.
Well, the thing I noticed was on the Kenyan birth certificate was his footprint.
Yes.
It's easy to check.
How's that?
What you do is you challenge him to a barefoot foot race. And
in Hawaii, because he's from Hawaii.
Well, right, yeah, that's right. Good.
So you go
native.
Why is my starting block all inky?
His starting block's a little inky, and you just make sure that part of the race is over a piece of paper. And then what you do is you take that and compare that footprint with the one on. I mean, no, this is so easy. Uh-huh. So I mean, I you know this would take no time at all. I mean, you know,
there you go, proof.
No proof positive. That's right. That's the way I would go approach it.
Right, right. Well, I like your solution best, Jimmy. I think that's probably the best one.
Well, it's interesting you meant it as just a small dig. Are we done with that for a second? Or are you?
Yeah. Well, I just the only reason I bring it up is because it's just so important. If it turns out they're going to find out one way or the other, they are going to find out.
How do you really think they're going to find? I mean, because I think it would take them marching an entire jury, you know, down there.
No, I think if you just get a couple of armed guards, AK-47s, whatever it is, and march through there and tell the guy blocking the door, like when Orville Faubus or Wallace or whatever stood in front of the damn door,
right.
And then you brush him aside.
That's it.
Has to do with the healthcare. Is that healthcare? This week, the Supreme Court dismissed the idea of bypassing the appeals court from the guy in Virginia who said, look. The guy in Virginia who won and said that the mandate was unconstitutional. They said, look, this is so important, we're going to bypass the appeals process.
They tried to skip the appeals.
That was turned down 9-0.
Yeah, but that just...
Wait! Two of the people on there were appointed by Obama.
Right.
That turned it down.
Right.
That is to say... Obviously, in other words, they're going to go through the whole appeals process, but this is once again when you realize that so much of what he's done is going to be thrown out.
Yeah.
Like the two Supreme Court people.
Well, that would be huge. Huge. But the Supreme Court couldn't ratify it the other way. Think of the damage that would be done. Reputation of the court.
Well, here's
if they were to say, yeah, he was born in Kenya, but.
Oh yeah, no, I understand that. What I was talking about was the reason. It was a legitimate reason for them to say, "Look, you have to go through the whole real appeals process." And go through the appellate courts before you come up to the Supreme Court. They know they're going to get it, but they wanted to see what some other writings were on it, obviously, get some more input, because there'd be some more stuff. But the other thing was that the only time the Supreme Court has ever bypassed the appeals is when everybody said, please bypass it. And, of course, the Justice Department said, no, don't, for obvious reasons. Right. So on the, that's on the health care. So anyway,
yeah, the courts don't like to do...
No, 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 I understand that. No, a lot of things they don't. You know, I understand that. You know, this procedure and the whole nine.
Right.
So, okay, so we finished with that, and Obama, of course, is in a little trouble because of the gas prices, which have now, what, they're over $4 in a lot of places.
Yeah, man.
Going up like crazy. And
Yemen?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, of course, you know, that all dovetails with the price of gold. You were asking me, I went.
Oh, yeah, that Jimmy actually did homework.
I actually did some homework.
Jimmy,
I went back into the archives. And I delved through the archives and found on the first portion, the first half of the February 8th, 2009.
There's Jimmy going into the archives.
That's right. It's like
February 8th, 2009.
Like, yeah, part one. And of course, I had to go in there like Maxwell Smart.
Two years and two months.
And gold at that day was $913, and it's $913.60. And I said, we're going to see gold. And I was off. Here's a mea culpa. I said, $1,500 gold by the end of 2010.
Off by a whole 4 months.
Yeah,
then.
I was off by 4 months. It was like $1,350 or $1,450.
Yeah, it was $1,400
at least. Yeah, I was off by $100 in 4 months. Okay, they hurt me. So anyway, and I'm telling you now, it's not too late.
Oh, no.
No,
man.
It's not too late. I'm telling you, folks, it's not too late.
It's amazing. It is amazing. But even silver has been up.
Oh, no. Silver went up too fast, I think. I mean, that's why there was a sell-off today of 10%.
Yeah.
It's over $50.
Yeah.
I sold a silver coin. Let me think now. I sold a silver coin about a month ago for $35. I sold one a week ago for $40. And I could have sold one this morning for $50.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah?
That's how fast.
Was it one from that guy that was selling the silver?
Yes. In fact, it was. In fact, I do have some rounds.
Do you?
As they say, yeah, I got some rounds. Huh? They're, you know, whatever. And I put a couple on eBay just for laughs, and they went for, you know, $2 or $3 over spot. So it was, you know, whatever. So anyway, as we've seen the prices go up, well, what's funny about...
Why is it, Jimmy?
Why is what?
why is this going up? What were you going to say?
Actually, nothing is going up. You know that? The fact is that there have been no price increases any place. Only thing that's happened is the dollar's gotten cheaper. That's the only thing that's happened is this. That now QE2 is...
Okay, tricky guy.
Yeah, tricky guy, that's right. Well, so anyway, what I love, of course, is I was watching the Sunday shows here a couple of days ago, and I watched Geithner on there. Boy, what a hoot.
Oh, wait, yeah, what do you mean?
I mean, he is so funny. I mean, talking about, you know, talking about what we have to do. And I mean, there is the Ryan plan, the Obama quote, plan, unquote, Geithner and everything. I mean, folks, don't look behind the door here. You know, everything's going to be okay. We're going to have a 10-year plan to smooth everything out. And, I mean, we are so far past the tipping point. In case anybody's interested, we are past the tipping point. There is no way.
Well, we've asked you, Jimmy, what does that mean?
Like, yeah,
what does the bottom of the cliff look like?
Good question. The bottom of the cliff cannot see I yet. Yoda.
I went back and looked at the Germany situation.
Yeah.
And I did a little research. Germany has, for those of you who know, collapsed the currency a couple of times last century.
Right.
And what they did ultimately was, I mean, what happened was, as they inflated their currency and inflated their currency, black market transactions increased.
Right.
And prices distorted. They tried wage and price controls to beat the band, of course.
Yep.
And prices distorted further. They finally got so out of whack, half of the market was being carried on as black market.
And Jimmy's always said that. That's really the white market. That's the true market.
Well, right.
Free of government interference is the true free market.
Right.
Just that the government's pissed, of course, because they don't have control, so they call it illegal, but...
Right. Well, they make it illegal.
Right.
And then they make the wage controls and everything illegal. Now, eventually, in 1948, Germany bit the bullet, and what they did was they they didn't he mean did. To say that. They knocked me into sorry, so sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Okay, so, I was so just there eating my swastika oars in the morning when the truth came rushing through.
So anyway, okay, so the fire went out in the ovens, and what happened?
And what they did was they took a 10-to-1 devaluation on a huge number of accounts. That is to say, they say, okay, here's your new Deutsche Mark,
yeah,
and we'll take the old ones at a 10-to-1 rate. In other words, you give us 10 of the old ones, we give you one of the new ones.
Right.
And now they totally had like political deals as to who got to keep their money. That is, you could go trade in your wages and rents and stuff like that for a 1-to-1, but like your savings 10-to-1.
Right.
So it effectively wiped out huge savings.
Well, it had already been wiped out.
Right. I mean, it was already gone and dead. But my point is that was the moment that they accepted the transferal and restabilized their currency to the point of where the market became, quote, white again or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it came back into the light. And everybody, they removed a lot of the wage and price controls.
They removed them all.
And guess when? Sunday.
Yeah.
They did all this on a Sunday because the guy freely said he did it on the Sunday because he thought if he tried to do it on Monday, he'd have been shouted out of every place he went.
Well, not only that, what had happened is it was Earhart, I think, was the guy's name that did it. What happened is the United States was over there and the martial law was in effect. I mean, we owned Germany at that point. And the general, whoever, I forget who the general was, he like took a quick vacation. He went down, you know, he went away for a couple of days. And that's when Ludwig Erhard said, okay, done.
Right.
And the general was out of town that day.
And the French were pissed. A lot of people were pissed.
Of course they were.
Right. I mean, but they basically defaulted on huge numbers of debts.
Well, of course they did. They defaulted on everything. That was the default. Whatever they did, France did the same thing in the early 60s.
Right. So my point was at the bottom of the cliff, what it looked like for them was first depression, second chaos, and then some type of reconciliation ultimately, you know, after a few decades.
It didn't take all that long. But
and a giant war. Big giant war. I mean,
I thought you were talking about the 47 one. You're talking about 1923.
No, that was 48.
Well, there's no war after that.
No. I'm just saying before that.
The war ended in 46, 45.
Right.
Okay, so this was... Then the United States took over. Okay, that was one. But the Weimar Republic was the 1923 devaluation.
Right.
That was the...
Because of World War One, they took their currency off the gold standard, the first mark.
Right.
And then they had wild inflation after that.
And they more or less stabilized it for a while until the Second World War, where they had to start printing up money again. Okay. The point being, what you've said, and I think part of the interesting thing is, I don't remember there being great quantities of bodies laying in the street of people dying when they did this. That is to say, it's catastrophic. A lot of people, quote, get hurt, unquote, but nobody's dying.
Right.
You know, I mean, they still got it. They got a roof over their head, more or less.
Right.
They got, you know,
hard to get stuff.
Hard to get, but I mean,
nobody
died.
Don't have the
wide
variety of stuff, exactly.
Yeah. So what they're talking about on the default business here, and that's nothing we're going to talk about here again, is the debt limit. Is as bad as it is, to wring the excesses out of the system. This is straight Austrian economics. To wring the excesses out, all the people that have made speculations, rightly or wrongly, honestly, they're shot. It's too bad.
You
what happened was somebody screwed you. Right. Life isn't fair. Sorry.
not somebody. It was nature. See, and that's the problem.
Yeah, nature. That's why then nature's getting back at you.
And what I'm afraid of, and of course what everybody's trying to do, is they're trying to restructure the loss.
Right. And of course, any restructuring, from the most minuscule to the huge bailouts, benefit your buddies over everybody else.
Right.
I mean, anytime you talk about
it.
It is all about your friends. Friends in high places. That's all it is. And those are the people. And they're still trying to justify it. Again, I've never quite understood why Geithner and Bernanke and those guys aren't on a 420-foot yacht on the Caribbean and off of a non-extraditable country. Because, you know, what they've done is, it's a criminal enterprise, what they've done.
It's amazing.
But to hear this guy on Meet the Press or whatever he was on talk about this stuff. I mean, you talk about somebody that said that used up 1,000 words and didn't say anything. I mean, I'm telling you, it was talk, and people buy into it.
Talk.
I mean, literally, it was like speaking in tongues or something. I mean,
part of his plan is deception.
Oh no, that's the entire plan. No, the entire plan is deception.
Right.
I mean, the fact is that what's stunning about this, and I got an email just tonight from somebody who. They want to, what she wants to do, there's this viral email running around that they want to make May 1st through May 30th or May 31st or whatever, boycott China to show them, give them a taste of what it's like to take $1 billion of trade deficit off the books or something like that. Well, you know, what I'm sitting there thinking, because, you know, we're buy America. That's the idea. Buy America. Buy local. Buy America. And I'm thinking,
all of our products are made in China. So
she said, you know, you'll end up paying a little more, but it'll create jobs here and so forth. But, I mean, this person has been deceived. And this is what happens, what all governments do. This, from the great Satan to Cuba to all of the countries that are the tend towards totalitarianism, as these things spin out of control, the only way they stay in control is to point the finger someplace else and say, those guys over there are the bad guys. The Chinese are ripping us off with the low wages, or in the case of the Khomeini, the great Satan, the United States is doing this. So we have to put all these pressures, you know, and Sharia law or whatever, or Castro has stayed in power for 50 years, demonizing everybody. And the country is as poor as weeds. And the fact is that the only reason he stayed there is because he's managed to convince the dupes, the populace, that it's not his fault. It is absolutely his fault. I mean, it's just hysterical. So when you see the people want to take it out on China, they've been duped by Geithner and Bernanke and these guys.
I agree. I mean,
and the simple fact is that the criminality has existed in Washington for 70 years, where they have spent your children and grandchildren into penury.
Fiat currency just seems to be amoral.
It can't work. It never works.
Yeah,
it has never worked. When we were when Britain was on the gold standard, and when the United States was on the gold standard,
it doesn't even make sense.
No, of course not. But I mean, again, if you have to read a little of the Austrian economics. But there are still people, Nobel Prize winner Paul Krugman.
Oh, I know.
And Stiglitz and some other people, you know, they're talking about.
Even Milton Friedman likes currency manipulation.
Yeah, that's right. He wanted to put it in a computer and and have it go. And that was the problem, is that people are always bugged about this thing called price stability. But there is no price stability. The simple fact is that preferences change every day.
Right.
I mean, I remember, again, we talked about this. My first Apple computer was $4,500. And it, you know, it had all of 64K of memory. I mean, do you know what I can get a Cray supercomputer for that kind of money today, just about. You know? So I mean, this is what, you know, this is what happens. And of course, the way they deceive and lie to you when you're still looking at interest rates, literally the LIBOR and the other interest rates are less than 1%. And this is because they're, you know, arbitrarily doing it when they shouldn't be that. And so people are, you know, deceived by something like by this manipulation of the interest rates, and they don't realize that the real interest rate, and the way they do it is they say, look, inflation is running at 1.5%, and now that excludes energy and food, but core inflation, they call it, is everything. I'm thinking, whoa, because that's because computer prices have come down, so that weighs in as a negative. But I'm thinking energy and food, as far as I'm concerned, that is inflation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. Look, coffee, for the first time in decades, has crossed $3 a pound. And, of course, gold is the canary in the mine shaft.
Yeah.
It's that simple. If you can say what you want, but there's just enough people that are smart enough that is the canary in the mine shaft. And you only need one canary to tell you that there's
methane. And it's yellow.
And it's yellow. That's right. Exactly. That is exactly right.
Dead giveaway.
Well, you did sell one of your computers for, didn't you? You sold an original Apple II.
Well, now that was an antique. Boy, right. Whoa. Yeah, if anybody out there's got Apple IIs, not the pluses, just the Apple IIs, let me know. Yeah, send them on, right. Yeah.
We will send you a coffee cup.
We'll, we'll do that. I was blown away by what that went for. It was, I mean, there are some people. Well, those are the true geeks. You know, I'm an AirSats geek compared to those people.
Oh, Jimmy, that...
You're James Bond compared to
that. That's like people. Darth Vader calling the Emperor evil or something.
Yeah. Oh, great. I love that.
Well, he's a bad man. So, Jimmy, I did want to talk about the Ryan plan, the draconian Ryan.
The draconian slashing.
I've got a better idea.
The Ryan.
The Bowles Simpson plan.
Right.
And then there's the Obama.
Right.
Okay.
Suggestion.
Right. The Obama suggestion of a committee.
And they're going to save how many trillions over 10 years?
Right. Obama's is $4 trillion over 10 years, I think.
That's 12. Good.
12 years, actually. 12 years when, in fact, Congress can't do anything past 10 years.
Right,
that's
right.
That's the way. And it turns
bad.
And, of course, the funny part of it is all these savings occur, like, in the next millennium.
Right, yeah. You
know, bad.
None of it occurs right away. It's so funny.
Yeah. Even the Ryan plan apparently calls for trillions in additional spending up front.
Right.
And then
we'll save the money.
Right.
Let me spend a little to make a little, man.
Right. Yeah, that's right. A little, and they call it an investment. No, right. An investment in the future. This is our roadmap. This is our roadkill to the future, as far as I can tell. So
it's like a road in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, is it 4 trillion or 7 trillion? How many trillions is he supposed to save over 10 years?
Well, Ryan's?
Yeah.
Ryan's is 6, I think.
6 trillion.
Right.
Now, have anybody done the math on that to see how bad that is?
Yes.
Okay, and it turns out...
The budget doesn't get balanced until like 2040, still.
Right.
Okay.
And that's right.
And
we'll all be, you know, microchips by then.
So. Well, yeah, you hope. I mean, right. If they don't lock on the microchip market or something, right. But at least they will in China, probably.
I saw him on Sunday actually pitch his stuff on...
Yeah, I watched it, and I watched him, and I watched a couple of them, and the point is that it doesn't even remotely go far enough. It's not even close.
And the sad part is that they wouldn't even remotely take his plan, which doesn't even remotely go
far
enough.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Well, they might get bullied into taking something halfway. Like the Bowles Simpson, that one's apparently even worse. That one's apparently, that one balances budget by 2037.
Yeah, but you're still arguing over the bar tab on the sinking of the Titanic.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's no question about that, but that's what I'm getting at is that it's just interesting to me that what they characterize as the draconian Republican counterplan is still like a golden locomotive steaming towards the cliff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely, you know, and they talk about Ryan, you know, everybody's worried, he killed Medicare, Medicare, man. Medicare has been dead. It is so
dead. Well, let me tell
you,
what is amazing about this so often, and we see this locally, I'm gonna dovetail into some local stuff here.
Well, I just want to say about Medicare, it's already dead. Is
that
what
you're... I was going to talk about some, but yeah, it is. Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, gone.
I mean, it's so dead, it's like a rotting corpse.
Oh.
I mean, the only question is, are we going to let the zombie corpse that is Medicare eat the brains of the living healthcare system that we still have?
Right, and I don't think they will. I think what's going to happen is
they'll gut it.
Yeah, they have to get. Well, what's amazing about this is that people.
Captain, may I have a word with you?
No,
it's an emergency, sir.
Come back when it's a catastrophe.
One of the things that people miss is they say, well, you're going to throw the seniors off, or there's going to be a 10% of the seniors are now going to be off. What they don't understand is 100% of the people are going to be off if you don't.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
it's dead.
It's dead, right? I mean, we're talking about.
I got another good zap.
A man who single-handedly defeated the retiree people of the assisted living nebula. Zap. Brennigan!
That's exactly right. No, seriously, Jimmy, that's what they think. They think that anything can save that plan.
Yeah.
They're maniacal.
Totally delusional. We're talking about white coats. We're talking about rubber room white coats. Now, what's interesting here locally, it's funny because the letters have, we're going through starting our budget process here locally in Alachua County and the city of Gainesville. The whiners and crybabies are coming out of the woodwork. Don't cut my plan.
Yeah, not my budget.
Not my. I mean, it is funny. The senior people, the halt, the lame, the blind, the children. The, you know, this is a program that pays for itself, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, no, it's worth its weight in the community.
It's right. Every dollar invested yields 100 back or whatever. On and on. You know, quality of life.
I love
and
it.
I'm thinking like, where do you think you're getting the money from?
No, they have
you understand that money that you want that we don't have is being collected from me at the point of a gun? And like,
yeah, but you're one of the rich people.
Yeah. let me tell you, I'm not gonna go into the complete explanation of how my finances have changed in the last 3 years. But let me put it this way: the one good salient feature, bright feature of the IRS, United States Tax Code, the income tax, is if you have no income, you have no tax.
And not too
that
bad.
I mean, that's perfect. So, but here locally on your property taxes, you can be destitute and living under a bridge. They want that property tax. I mean, it doesn't.
Well, you know, here's what I was thinking also, Jimmy. Anybody who is ever characterized as, quote, rich, unquote, obviously doesn't have a high enough tax rate. I mean, according to...
Well, the millionaires and billionaires. Now, of course, he always drags out Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
Right.
Now, that happened to be the first and second or third or something richest people in the world.
Right.
I understand those people, and they probably might pay a little bit of tax here and there. Who knows? But that, when they talk about the millionaires and billionaires, they're talking about people that are making over about $196,000. I mean, as a family, their tax return is over that. Well,
oh yeah, no, the taxes we know are going to hit everybody with incomes of, like you said, 190 or 200 above.
Yeah, and I mean,
but he's going to call it the rich,
right?
I mean, that's
well, of course he's going to go back on his word about. I mean, first it was a million, then it went down 250,000, and it's going to go all the way down. And what was interesting, they did a survey on what do you think of the tax system? You know, fair, unfair, you know, whatever, too much, too little. 43% of the respondents said the tax system was just perfect for them. Interestingly enough, 47% of the people don't pay any taxes.
Right.
Thinking, why? I wonder why. Huh. There were some. That means that there were some people that don't pay taxes that thought the tax system was unfair to them. I'm going like, why? You didn't get enough back? So, anyway, it is. Well, I mean, there's just way too many people that don't have any skin in the game.
I tell you what I did also. I pulled off this percentage breakdown.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at it yet.
It's a 2010 budget. I got some extra copies here if you need one.
Well, I do, but I mean, I still have to.
And it's very telling, Jimmy, because you can see that this breaks down the 2010 budget as percentage of the whole.
Okay, now how many items are on that list?
And that's the important thing. There's about 25 or 30 items on the list here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, about 20,
starting with Social Security and ending with bailouts.
Right. Now, what you'll notice is like the first 10 cover like 90% of the expenses.
Right.
Okay. And then the
now,
last.
This is, now, what they've done here is they've taken a typical household income of almost $70,000. And you're.
Well, we don't even need to worry about the amounts. We can just look at the percentages.
Okay.
All I'm concerned about is a percentage. Because what it does, it tells you, for example, that Social Security is 20.4% of the budget
of your of what you're paying
of
in.
The federal of the federal budget.
Okay.
And defense spending is 20.2%.
Okay.
And Medicare is 13.1. Low assistance income 9.3. Medicaid 7.9. Net interest payments 6.6. Unemployment 4.7. Veterans 3.1. Here's education way down here at 2.9. Okay.
Still $200 billion.
Well, right, okay, and, okay, law. Now, here's law enforcement and homeland security at 2.4.
Whoa.
Right, way down there, and transportation 2.3. All right, so let's see, how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 11. Okay, so that comprises about, let's see, 20, 40, 50,
95% 60. Or something, or more.
Okay, so.
Easily 96%.
So, obviously, the money's got to be cut from those.
Right.
Okay. You can cut everything below that and you only get 5%.
Yes. Space and science, 0.7%.
Okay. Yeah. So just F all that stuff. Okay. And let's just look at these top 10. Now, obviously, you got to cut Social Security. You got to cut Medicare. You got to cut
defense.
Right. And, you know, Jimmy, I mean, it just looks like This is what they would have to do, from my perspective.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, let me put it this way. They're going to get cut. No, I mean, that's the simple fact. The simple fact is, at some...
But the way they're going to get cut is by through inflation, depression, no, and then a reconciliation at some point.
At some point. There's going to come a time when the checks will bounce. It's that simple. And then that's the cut. I mean, then the checks will just bounce. They won't buy anything.
Right. Well, they won't buy anything. Right. You'll get the check.
Yeah.
And you go down to the
it won't buy anything. It'll be essentially the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. No. There's no question. I mean, the fact is that we've crossed over. You cannot have a $14 trillion debt on a GDP of about the same. The United States is accelerating into be one of the pigs. You know, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and whatever Spain.
All right. So here's my plan in 25 words or less to save the whole country. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Social Security, done. Just phase it out. 10 years. If you're on now, good. You got 10 years left. If you're off, you know, if you're not, too bad. Blah, blah, blah. Same thing, Medicare, Medicaid. Cut defense by half. Just close bases in the Philippines,
everywhere.
Germany.
Yeah.
All around the world, we don't need them.
Right.
Leave huge military spending. I mean, half. Half is still hundreds of billions of dollars. But half, okay, easily. So there's 50%, 50.4%, Jimmy, just in those things right there.
And that's
problem
what,
solved.
And that, problem solved. That's what you have to cut.
So they're going
to
vote on that? They're going to pass
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. Send them a note.
Yeah.
Send them a note. Counselor.
Memo.
Send them a memo.
An email.
Fixed it. No, I mean, and literally anything short of that is not going to work. It's just that simple. You've crossed over. None of the plans address, even long-term, you can sit there and talk about 2040, but let me tell you something. When the Clinton budget was balanced by the Republicans in whenever that was, in the year 2000.
Clinton.
Yeah, in the year 2000, when we had ostensibly a surplus. Now, of course, it was a little hokey because Social Security was still taking in quite a bit more than it had to spend out, and they were using that in the general fund. So it was a little bit hokey, but the point was we had, quote, about at least close to a balanced budget at that time. And they without the Iraq, without the wars and everything, it actually might have been sustainable because when you look at the long term stuff. But the bottom line was at that time, they said we've balanced the budget forever. We've done. OK, a year later. Or 2 years later, they said, okay, we see, you know, 100 billion, 200 billion, whatever it was, deficits, as far as the eye can see. This was like less than 1,000 days later, they had completely 180'd, reversed course. So when they start making projections about 2037, 2018, 2040, or whatever, I mean,
mark those down.
You mark them right, exactly.
In heavy and of course, ink and stone. And,
yeah, I mean, this is... No, this is, but you have to understand, this is the way governments get elected. And now, the unfortunately, the pay time.
I've printed my plan on toilet paper.
If elected mayor, my first act will be to kill the whole lot of you and burn your town to cinders.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. My first act.
So anyway, the point is that the way that they stay elected is they say things will get better X years in the future.
We can all work together to build a utopian society free of violence, hate, and prejudice.
Yep. I'm in. So anyway...
But think of the children.
It's always... I mean, I'm telling you, what is funny here... getting ready to write a letter to the Gainesville Sun here to say the wine... Every one of them are coming in. They're saying... It's what do you call it? Intestine warfare
Brains.
Or whatever. Yeah, right. But they, you know, they're all for their own, which makes perfect sense. They're all for their own program to the detriment of everybody else's. And you sit there and say, well, you're for the seniors, but then we have to cut the children. Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
No, but you understand.
No, that's a different budget.
Yeah, different budget, right, different.
Right.
So, I mean, they have really come out of the woodwork in spades. And, of course, most of them are the directors of those programs. So, I mean, so it's the education. I mean, you just go down the list of the things.
Boy, and those people are going to be parading for the next few decades, the next decade at least, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to be parading here locally because we've got budget hearings that, you know, for the next month or two. I mean, you know, the workshops and everything. And they're going to be in there with their
education.
They wore out their PowerPoint program. I mean, they wore it out because they, you know,
they wore out the pointer on the screen.
The pointer on the screen. They burned a hole with the little 1 milliwatt laser burned a hole in the screen. I know the Excel spreadsheet melted. It was because they no being up for so long. That's right. Yeah. No, it's just perpetual right on there. You know, this is why we need the money.
I noticed that they're making some considering some slight changes to the pension situation.
Well, the pension situation is a joke in a way. I mean, the fact is that the way
brains.
The thing is that they've had this particular benefit because that's the way you can keep the pension. See, that's another thing. That's a promise for
already.
That's a promise for the future.
Right.
That's how you get the guy to work. You say, right. I will pay you big bucks in 40 years.
Right, right.
Okay, I'll later. Work for nothing. You know. So I mean, that's so now it's 40 years.
Right.
I'm sorry, time's up. You know, and they're coming up and they're looking in the barrel and there's no money there.
Uh-huh.
Weird. Weren't you putting money in there? Well, we did put the money in there, but then we spent it. Mm. And they have a regular thing here in Florida where they say they actually call it. They come out and they say, well, we had to raid the trust fund, the highway trust fund. We had to raid.
Trust.
And I'm thinking, are you talking about the bug spray or what? I mean, they make no apologies. We're transferring funds from here to here. Wait a minute, but that money's supposed to go for the roads. No, it's more important for the old people or the children
right
or the whiners or somebody. Okay.
The whiners.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, that's that. So the debt limit is coming up on May 8th, or the middle of May.
So they're going to raise that?
Well, you can bet they're going to raise it, but yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because they've got two sides that are relatively intractable. Well, of course, what you're going to hear is the demagoguery, and that is, people don't realize this, if they don't, first of all, if they don't raise the debt limit, nothing happens the next day. Nothing happens for a couple of months. They can keep going for a couple of months. Easy. Number one, easy. Number two, you have to understand, the United States government still collects $2.2 trillion from us. They will use that money to satisfy any debt service.
Any immediate stuff.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's no question about it.
No, there's going to be a default.
No, there'll be a paper default.
Right.
But basically, and of course what will happen is, you will see, because everybody knows that they're going to do it eventually, but there will be one of the seven veils will be dropped. And you'll be able to see a little more transparently what's going on in the United States. I mean, the fools that are buying up the Treasury bills, they will have a little clearer picture of they're not going to ever get paid. and so the interest rates will go up. And then that's really the killer, because right now, I don't know what the average. The United States issues debt anywhere from 30 days to, 30 years. And I don't know what the average debt is. It's like 5 or 6 years or 7 years or something like that. And the average interest rate is something in the neighborhood of 3.5% or 4%. But I mean, if that suddenly starts to skyrocket,
that's my cue to exit.
Yeah, exactly. Because because that is a leveraged piece of money that could really, you can increase defense spending, but you have to actually buy stuff. Interest payments are due like tomorrow. And so, you can...
Just all on their own, yeah. They increase.
Yeah, that's it. So that'll be... So anyway, the question is, they're going to go ahead and raise it. It'll be a big hoorah. There's going to be some collateral. There'll be some fallout, but...
And then there's going to be a lot of printing.
Well, the real question is, how much are they going to raise it? Are they going to raise it, $50 to have a vote?
$50.
Well, whatever. Tomorrow.
Well, my thought is that
Or are they going to raise it to $20 trillion so they have a five-year or a two-year breathing spell?
Yeah, no, not that much. I mean, my thought is that they'll raise it, and whatever period of time that they extend it for will become shorter and shorter as the situation becomes more and more desperate. It seems to me, just because there'll be more and more stuff to fight over, and so.
Well, the problem with the fighting over it, of course, it actually removes some of the mystery of what's going on here for the people that are buying the debt. What you want to do is to hold up some kind of a big old shield so that it doesn't hit the newspapers every day. That's what the government would like to do. And so what they would like to do is have a clean debt limit raised to $20 trillion and then drop, and then we'll worry about that, 2 years from now.
Right.
And
later.
Yeah. I mean, and the market would, but if they keep raising it,
there's no way the Tea Party people will go along with
they're
that.
They're not enough of them.
Well, but I still think they can.
They have managed to do, let me tell you, if this girl that wrote me on the thing, when she wrote me this email, And she's a smart girl, and she's been in business, and she knows all about money, but boy, her knowledge of economics is zero. And she's smart. Forget the rest of them. When, you know, when Geithner and those guys are all on Meet the Press, and of course, you look at the guy doing the questioning. I'm thinking, why bother? You know, you've got to ask this guy something else entirely, and then delve into his answer and say, that's not an answer. That's not an answer. And, you know, let me describe to you the bottom of the cliff. And is that, I mean, just something to really put him on.
Like, yeah, no, I heard one answer the other day. So they asked one of those guys, so how long do you think, X thing is going to go on? He goes, well, I think it could go on for a period of time. And I'm like, a period of time,
as opposed
man.
To a not a period
right,
of time.
Right, yeah.
A period of no time.
Right.
Well, they a lot of them are saying, well, you know, we have to get on this pretty soon, but we are measured in certainly in several years out, and if not decades. Well, that's bullshit.
Right.
I mean, that's bullshit. So anyway, and of course, the other thing was, you know, what happened? I mean, one of the big little hiccups that happened about a week ago was when Standard & Poor's finally got a little teensy bit of religion and maintained the AAA rating of U.S. bonds, but issued a little warning and said, you know, if you keep this up, we're going to have to change your rating. Well, you don't have to read between the lines much to see what they're actually saying here. They're having their cake
and eat it.
Yeah, exactly. because what they're saying is, and I mean, it reminds me of the touts on the investment shows where they say, well, this company really looks good. I mean, they're making money hand over fist.
Calling in over fist.
But they're, and I tell you, you know, I've talked to them and everything, but it's a tremendously speculative investment. I'm going like, wait a minute. It's either a good company or it's a speculation.
Right.
So that's what Standard & Poor's did. They said, oh, a AAA rating, but it's a speculation. And I'm going like, it can't be both. I'm sorry. It is, and I can tell you.
Well, they just didn't want to catch all the flack. For.
I understand, but I'm saying that there's supposed to be an independent agency. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't... you can see that even the politics has infected them.
Right. Well, it absolutely has. Well, the banking system is all political.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been since the formation of the Fed.
Right.
And those people are absolutely beholden to each other.
Yep.
So they're gonna support each other in their policies and
like
what they do.
It's like everything else. You get paid to say this.
Right.
I've always said you can go in here, even in this town, you can pay somebody $1,000 to kill somebody. You certainly can pay somebody $150,000 to come out and lie, legally. I mean, you know, he's not going to go to jail or anything. So, I mean, you buy those people a dime a dozen, and they're glib enough. They're like, you know, the reverends on the charlatans on TV that actually get people to phone in and give them money. If you can imagine, these guys are on. I mean, this what's his name? The one that was Bron White likes so much. Tilton is his name or something like that. He's the one. Boy, you look at this guy. You talk about slime. I mean, you talk about greasy. I can't believe that anybody sends this guy. What do you mean he's got a show on, you know, 3-4 days? And you notice, of course, that what's interesting.
How about that Indian guy who just died, Satya Salibaba or whatever his name was?
Yeah.
He is a $9 billion trust that from just donations that people have.
What I look at this, of course, is you got to ask yourself, what about a pastor who is giving you relief? And you're going to send the miracle oil. The no evil oil is one of the big ones. And the red prayer cloth of miracles or something. But the other, what I like about it is they're on at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, what? I'm sorry. Where's the audience here? What audience are you appealing to? You know, people that are drunk or, you know, 3 o'clock, they just got home from the bar. I mean, they're high on something. I don't know. Okay. So, did we talk about the gas prices? Okay, that's going to be a big deal for Obama. Let the whiners know, that's good. Oh, okay, next. War in Libya. No escalation.
Where?
No escalation. Predator drones.
Days, not weeks?
Yeah, days, not weeks. That's right. Was this week, whatever it is, yeah. And, of course...
This is like month two or something?
Yeah. Well, I saw where Jeff Sessions of Alabama has said we have to cut the head off the snake. But the policy of the United States is we don't go after people like that. So they're taking out every place they think he is, of course.
Right.
With predator drones. I mean, you have to understand, the people that are running those predator drones, these are kids that grew up on a Game Boy.
Oh, sure.
And so as far as they're concerned, it's Game Boy time. You know, they're sitting in, I don't know, Omaha or someplace.
Well, I have no problem with that. I mean, but it's the whole thing that it's war, you know.
But, I mean, I love the part where it says no escalation. You know,
oh, yeah,
they sent
yeah.
The predator.
Well, they had no clue. Jimmy, we proved that in week two. They had no clue what they were getting into. The Democrats never understand war because they have a static view of the situation. They always think,
even the generals don't. I was watching couple of the generals on. They were talking about this thing, and I'm thinking, you know, if this they haven't read Sun Tzu,
right?
I mean, the fact is, you have to know what the outcome is before you start.
Totally,
you have to know,
right?
What it, I mean,
right.
you
and Carney's up there saying, "Well, this is you know, we're taking it one day at a time. You know, we're doing this." Like,
it
look,
is
you then you don't know then you know, and therefore you have lost.
Why haven't they read that? I mean, the people that have followed that have always won.
It's been that's why that book has been around for 3,000 years or however long.
Unbelievable,
it is.
Yeah. No, it's yeah.
It's amazing.
No, it is truly amazing, and I mean, it is stunning because you would think that. Of all the books that you were going to read in War College or wherever you go, that would be, well, I mean, no, Annapolis or, you know, West Point or whatever it is, you'd think that would be like...
It's got to be on the mantle at the White House. I mean, the Trump House.
Yeah, exactly, right. Because in business, you do the same thing. Exactly right.
I mean, I've got that book. Everybody's got that book.
I have got a tape. I listen to the whole tapes on the thing as well, besides reading. I mean, it's not that long.
No.
I mean, it's a fairly short book. But
it was written as a manual for, like, his generals. Like, this is what you do, you know? Don't attack unless you got a 5-to-1 advantage, you know? You know, if you're defending with 3-to-1, you're okay. But, you know, I mean, just, you know, he goes on.
Well, I mean, and also he talks about guerrilla warfare. If you're the weaker, you do it this way. If you're the stronger, you do it this way. No direct confrontation, you know, so forth and so forth. And actually, what was interesting to him was that he was totally against...
Does it say you give $25 million to rebels that you don't know who they are?
No. It doesn't say that, and because they were using yen at the time, but you didn't even give them one yuan or whatever it is. Or,
God damn it! I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd do any good.
Well, man, that's what they're doing.
That's right. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing, and they're getting their dicks zapped.
I mean, they're pissing with our dicks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the problem. Yeah.
It is stunning because of the random flailing that you're talking about.
The random flailing.
I mean,
exactly.
I mean they stood off.
They've met chaos with more chaos.
Oh, I mean, it gives chaos a bad name. I mean, you wish.
Chaos
it was,
is offended.
Yeah, that's right. Offended. They can take it out of the dictionary because they're so offended. No, the fact is they stood off. Literally, it reminds me of a little kid when we were little kids. You know, you get this big long stick.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You go up to the hornet's nest and you'd stick it in and rattle it around. And then you'd run like hell, and you know, and of course the hornets would come out and sting the shit out of you. But I mean, the point is that the other one was the
you know you're having the dirt bomb fight across the stream, and you know you decide to throw a couple of rocks,
right?
And then all of a sudden people are crossing the stream.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but the thing about it is that the thing that gets me about this is. That they, you know, we think about it, the metaphor is so perfect. They sent a battle group into the Mediterranean, stood offshore,
right.
And fired shit into Libya.
Right, yeah.
I mean, this is like, you know, hornet's nest. Stick,
totally.
You know, I mean, just I was in there and had no clue what the result was going to be.
Well, you know, the F-18 is called, right?
Yeah.
The Hornet. Exactly. Exactly.
It's amazing. Well,
no, it is.
Fortunately, we're focused on Libya. And we don't have any problems in Syria or Yemen.
Yeah,
or...
no, that's right. Of course, he's got what's his name's brought out the guns on his people.
Oh, in Syria?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, he's mowing them down.
Oh,
man.
He's mowing them down, that's right.
Yeah. That's one of the last dictators we got to support, you know. And then there's...
And what I thought it was interesting, there was a press release that said, the United States government advises all Americans to get out of Syria. I'm thinking... How many are there?
No shit,
right,
I mean,
man.
What? You got to be an idiot if you're there.
Yeah, and you have to be like 90% Syrian, 10% American.
Oh, yeah, and you better, and that 10% better not show through.
No. Now, but here's the thing also. Oh, Egypt is the original revolution out of the whole thing. I mean, not Tunisia, of course, but Egypt is now struggling. I mean, they're trying to get it together. But at least Mubarak's gone for them. I mean, that might actually turn out to be the the one place where it works or something, you know.
Don't hold your breath.
No, I'm not. I'm totally not holding my breath.
And when you realize they got a 60% illiteracy rate or something.
Well, I'm not too worried about that. But the point is that what the West people don't understand is when they ask somebody to step down out of power, like, who are they supposed to hand power over to?
Well, that's, of course, that's a little, the rebels, actually, there's now, they've identified two factions of rebels in Libya that don't like each other.
Oh, is that right?
They don't know which one's which anymore.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, you know, it's...
It is like, I mean, does avoid foreign entanglements ring a bell?
No, obviously it doesn't. Now, that old document, familiar? That old piece of... No, it's an old document. That, you know, it's not no, I'm sorry, that's an old one. Okay, moving along. Anything else of import? I have nothing else of import.
Let me double check here and see if there's anything of import here. I mean, I know that there was some important, some legal stuff that was going around with the what was the search of your smartphone?
Oh yeah, we know about that though. I mean, you know, everybody should know that their phone tracks you everywhere you go.
Right.
I mean, that's just now.
They were searching your smartphone at routine traffic stops.
Well, yeah, that's what Michigan police have a unit that will download all of the contents of your iPhone, including deleted contacts and deleted calls and
everything.
Right,
and it takes like a minute.
Right.
I mean, it's like a little portable box. I went to the website of those people, you know.
I
had to look it up. But yeah, and they're all, you know, good for law enforcement.
Oh, yeah.
And what you can do is if you can get a hold of the guy's phone, suck it dry and hand it back if you want to, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And we know everything that you've been doing and even the stuff you've deleted, yeah.
Yep.
This is used by Michigan police.
Yeah. No,
right. They got a probable cause or something, but, you know, I'm sure.
Oh, right. Have you been seeing the videos?
Prima facie evidence.
Yeah, right. Well, have you been seeing the John Stossel thing on police, whatever it is, the new Quick, it's called Quick, I think, QIK?
No, it's not.
The deal where if you on your iPhone, when you run it in camera mode, it'll automatically spool up to this server. So that even if they take your phone away and throw it, because that's what they're... It's already archived.
Love it.
That's the new... It's all... A lot of people are using it, and it's there. Because they have a lot of the videos on police, what they call police brutality now. I mean, you've seen this stuff.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah, no. There was what they want to do, there are like five states, and Florida is one of them, where it's supposedly against the law to photograph. They use the privacy statute to randomly photograph film. They use it as the two people consent thing is what it is on a communication.
Oh, no, I don't think law enforcement have any right to privacy and.
No, but they say, but believe it or not, there are some judges that have, what they do is they take you in jail, but nobody's actually taken it to trial yet.
Right, right.
Because
right.
What they do is they drop the charges, but you get to spend the night in jail and your camera gets confiscated and everything. But and then they come out and they say, well, we didn't do anything wrong. Well, of course, there's a couple of really good websites that have films of people being, got the shit kicked out of them. And then they go back and only in rare cases does the policeman actually get fired or suspended or something like that. I mean, they did have the one where the cop claimed that he got run over by a bicyclist, and the phone video showed him running and pushing the guy over just for spite.
Right.
And so another one was where there was a snowball fight. A bunch of kids were having on the sidewalk, and one of the snowballs went out and hit the cop car, and the cop jumped out and drew his gun, and so he got suspended. So
I remember that one. Yeah.
So I mean, they're all over the place. Anyway, this is going to be more and more prevalent.
Yeah.
Because once you can stream it. Do what you want with the phone, you know, done.
So, oh, yeah, yeah, love it.
So
love
we'll see what happens. Okay, what's next?
Well, go ahead.
When the 16-year-old slammed vehicular homicide charges, mother dies car accident.
Oh, yeah, man. So accidents, as we've talked about here in Jimmy Doan's show, are illegal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to have any criminal intent. You know, if somebody gets hurt...
Lock them, throw away the key.
And we know that because here's a case where... This young juvenile driving his mom makes allegedly an improper left turn, gets hit, and the mother dies. They've now charged the juvenile. This is in Atlanta, Georgia. They've charged the juvenile with vehicular homicide. Like he meant to kill his mom.
That was an easy way to do it. You know, no risk there. I'll just turn in front of this truck. to bump mom off. You know, well, where's the Twinkie defense when you need it?
Right, yeah.
So, Menendez, whatever.
But it's just bizarro world. This is just the extension of them having removed mens rea. Statutorily did away with criminal intent, with crime, you know, need to have that, so.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've gotten, since you've become an attorney and everything, and I've been studying some of this stuff, when I watch the old Law and Orders now with Sam Waterston or whatever, oh my God, you know, you think.
Oh my God, they're bullying those guys left and right.
I mean, you know, of course, they justify it because he's a bad guy.
Right.
Every time. You know, it just.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. No, that's really, you know, we know he's bad, so we're going to kill him.
We know.
We don't need any damn. That proof?
Right.
Not trial? No, I don't think so. You know, trial, execution first, trial second. Okay, what's anything particular?
The other one was that the SWAT attacks homeschool mom for refusing to force med child.
Yes.
You know, they got their big tank out in front.
Ooh,
and all
right.
All the guys are, you know, storming the place.
Yeah, that was up in Detroit, wasn't there?
Detroit mother, right. Multiple felony charges and being held on $500,000 bond after a 10-hour standoff with a heavily armed police SWAT team. She was protecting her 13-year-old daughter from unnecessary medication ordered by the state.
Yeah, well, wasn't this medication for ADHD or something like that? Wasn't a school involved in it somehow?
They put the child on the medication, and the mom just didn't like how the kid responded.
Right.
You know, so the mom, I think, took her to an independent doctor and had her evaluated, and they said take her off.
Right.
That didn't jive with what the state's doctor
didn't jive with the state. Well, of course, this again brings up the whole, if you ever want to get onto a website, the School Sucks podcast. This is all about the unbelievable indoctrination. They here locally, they published the entire school board wages, salaries schedule, and I was going through to see who did what. And, you know, a lot of the titles are obviously not teachers. They're other people. They're, you know, custodial and all that. Well, and so you go through there, and it looks like there's a lot of people that aren't actually teachers. You know, media specialists.
Of course there are.
And so people are starting to say, well, you know, maybe you could cut some of that people out and just leave the teachers. And of course, the superintendent, which he gets paid big money, $200,000 or whatever it is, writes and says, we're not top heavy at all. We need everybody there and so forth. Well, it's, of course, bullshit on his face. I mean,
right,
you just go
right.
through that. And he says, well, some of those titles are wrong. You know, they actually have double duty or something like that. Like, oh, yeah, okay,
some
fine.
Of those titles
yeah.
are wrong.
Yeah.
Eliminate efficiency and waste.
That's it.
Eliminate efficiency.
So anyway, as I say, the state is doing everything it can to protect itself. And one of the things it's doing, obviously, in the education department is to dumb everybody down. Eliminate critical thinking.
Well, look, it's protecting education. It protected that one school district from being looted by that woman who tried to enroll her child in the fancy school.
Right.
By registering her
domicile is with her uncle or somebody.
Her friend,
or
yeah, who's now been evicted from her public housing.
Yep.
But
when they found out, they weren't happy about it. Well, you know, on its face, of
jail.
Course. On its face, you look at this and you think to yourself, why do you have to have truant officers?
Right.
I mean, well, I'm sorry, what is a truant officer for?
Right.
And we have quite a few. We have several. Every school has at least one or two in this county.
Yeah.
And so here's a person that if you don't show up, by God. And of course, the thing I want to ask myself is this.
Reasonable rules, Jimmy.
Yeah, right. Of course, the other question you have to ask yourself is, why didn't the kid want to go to school? I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to school? I mean, school's a place to learn things, right? Why wouldn't you want to go there? What do you need a truant officer? It's a great thing. We've made this university. It's free. Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, what? Why would you have to have a truant officer?
Weird. Again.
No, it's just amazing.
And then you talk about reasonable rules. Today I was riding my bike. Yeah. I'm out on the path, and I came up on a work crew who were fixing the path, according to the sign.
Mm-hmm.
There was about eight people standing there. And they looked like they were digging something off of the path. The path is the old rail-to-trail path that's been turned in. It's been paved over.
Right, okay.
And I guess it gets cracks in every once in a while, and they fix it. But I couldn't see what they were actually working on because the sign said, get off your bike and walk past the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And
now what they were doing while standing around, were dice involved?
Yeah, and I couldn't see, but there was a lot of them. There was like eight people, and they were literally
like they're standing there with their shovels. And they, I guess they might have dug something in the past. Nobody was really doing anything when I was there. There was like a wide golf cart that was right in front of me, got there right before I did. And it was moving down the path, which obviously wasn't too damaged because the golf cart was going down. So I was kind of going right behind the wide golf cart. And I was still, I had 1 foot off of the pedal and 1 foot on it. I was kind of on the bike, but I was only going at 1 mile an hour because it was a small incline. So and they put the barricades way up the road, you know. So I'm cruising towards the people at 1 mile an hour, and we get up there, and when I get to the people, one of the guys looks at me and he goes, and he motions for me to get off of my bike.
You're like, really?
That's exactly what I said.
Really, dude?
I said, I'm going really slow, you know. I mean, like 1 mile an hour, you know. And no, it wasn't good enough for him, you know. And I'm like, you know, and of course, there's nothing wrong with the path. I mean, you know, me and the golf cart thing continued on the rest of the way. And, you know, me on foot now, and then, you know, up to
Come and get me!
It's a training camp for people. For
I hopped on my bike before the end, and you know.
Oh, it is.
Screw
you, suckers!
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, it's like...
Danger man there.
That's the kind of reasonable rules that we're all in for.
Yep. Oh, no, yeah.
Because, you know, there was obviously some reason why my, you know, my 1 mile an hour thing was against somebody's protocol.
Danger. Danger, yeah. Will Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did one thing Mike sent us in, which I thought was kind of amazing. In Germany, you know, we have the ethanol push over here.
Right.
And, of course, Germans, they didn't mandate over there that you had to sell ethanol with all your gasoline. So you could still get the regular gas from a regular pump. So, turns out, 15,000 gas stations over there are sitting on lots of unused gasoline. Yeah. The Germans literally will not buy it.
You know, I've found out that apparently, I guess all the gas stations have to provide the ethanol, but they can also provide the non-ethanol, because I think boats or something like that. But there's a couple of gas stations in Tampa that have people lined up down there because they have a non-ethanol pump.
That's right. And in fact, my mechanic here in town, she goes way out of her way to load up on, you know, fills up 5 gallon gas cans full of regular stuff. Because she says that, you know, the ethanol is just ruin your car.
Yeah, no, it's almost as bad as the lead. I mean, it's really amazing what it can do. It's very corrosive. All right, moving along.
That's all I think I had for heavy
stuff. I got two more little light notes.
Okay.
One, might want to put a password on your wireless internet.
I saw that, yeah.
The SWAT team has started raiding people. If it's been determined that your server downloaded child porn.
Yes, I saw that, right.
And, of course, what's... I mean, you know, like they could have checked with the people or something.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
that's what let me do, fill in the background here.
Yeah, this is Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, what happened was they busted SWAT teamed into this guy, threw him on the handcuff and everything else,
and in front of his wife, screaming pedophile and pornography,
the whole nine yards. And of course, what turns out, the kid next door had gone onto his internet or his router or whatever it was, because it was wireless, and downloaded all the porn. And of course, they didn't figure out which one it was, but this guy had to go through hell. And, you know, they finally...
They confiscated everything.
Everything,
and
right.
And then 3 days later, he was hours and hours at the police station.
Right.
And then 3 days later, exonerated him. But it's like... But the one thing is that they couldn't have just at least gone outside in front of his place to see if they could link up to his modem remotely. They didn't even check that, you know? And at least that wouldn't have necessarily made him innocent, but at least it would have said that there was a... possibility that he was, we're just going to beat his door down there. And he didn't even know who the heck they were. They came in with the ICE shirts. And he's like, who the hell are you guys? You know, I mean, this guy's an older guy.
Ice-T.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, right, you know, like ice who, you know. It was an immigration and something. And,
yeah,
man.
There was another person who, it was some kind of thing in Sarasota, that was on a boat and somebody used a potato chip can as an antenna to boost his wireless signal and downloaded 10 million images of child porn. that's just pretty amazing. But, you know, there's people out there like this one girl, she's fighting for it, Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Right, the EFF's been around for a while.
Yeah, and whenever public Wi-Fi is good for the common good, of course, I think it is too.
But well, anyway. the internet cafes and all those places, you know, all those places are open. I mean, of course, they tell you when you sign on to make sure you sign off of those places. But, you know, the Starbucks and all those places are all pretty much open.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's pretty.
It's kind of, the noose is tightening even more on all levels.
Okay. Hey, did you see California's considering a soda tax?
What?
1 cent per ounce.
You're kidding.
Nope.
For what? Evil soda empires?
Or? Well, they just thought they could raise a couple of billion bucks.
Yeah, right. No question. Diet soda, no, none are exempt. I mean, how about orange juice and stuff like that? How about not soda? This carbonated beverages or what?
I didn't check closely, okay. But they called it a soda tax.
Well, I mean, the simple fact is that they will tax the air you, if they get a chance, they're going to put a gas mask or a air breather mask on everybody, and you're going to have to deposit money to breathe. It's just
unless you're Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah,
arrested for grand theft.
It is so hard to defend the system when shit like that happens.
Yeah.
She gets arrested for like the 90th time and just walks out of there. I mean, the evidence is like she's on film stuffing the freaking necklace in her friggin' bra or something.
And then she's out parading around wearing it in public with the paparazzi filming her.
Right. No, she wore it out of there allegedly. But her friend, even the judge concluded she used her friend to distract, you know, the clerk. It's like, what, man?
I
just can't believe that she gets off every time so easy.
Well, you know, it's the Charlie Sheen syndrome, whatever. You know, having a good time. Winning.
Yeah.
Okay, so next. I got a couple things here. This is a couple of things that are happening overseas. One is that... Iran is planning to launch a monkey into space. That's right. In mid-September, the INSA news agency said on
Ahmadinejad, is it they're going to launch?
No. I was wondering just who it was going to be. Right. But the Iranian space agency, the monkey will be sent into orbit in a capsule carried by the whatever it is, something rocket.
Or it will be the very explosive primate experiment.
Yeah, that's right. Well, again, it's test launched with a very large rubber band and a monkey doll on board. In mid-March, and it was a huge slingshot, and they got it up. Anyway, Iran and
they did. They fired a monkey into space.
No, they're going to do the monkey, but they've already sent. Iran announced this ambitious space program in the mid-2000s, and the country launched the whatever it is, Kashavur-1 rocket into space in February 2008. The number two rocket carrying a space lab and a restoration system was launched in November 2008. February 2010, the number three rocket reportedly carried a test capsule with a rat, a turtle, and worms. Western powers suspect Iran of using its space program to develop ballistic missiles. Iran denies the allegation.
So they sent the rat, the turtle, and the worms all up in the same capsule. Huh?
I guess. Yeah. Well, they might have. As far as I know,
they use the turtle as the heat shield to come back down. That's
could have been. Could have been.
Strap the rat, and the worms on the belly, and
the rat ate the worms or something.
Right,
I don't know.
Right, for space food.
That's it. So yeah, so that's it. Now the other thing that happened is there's a country whose name I cannot pronounce. It's Kyrgyzstan. I think. Yeah, that's what it is. Kyrgyzstan. Lawmakers in Kyrgyzstan's raucous parliament have sacrificed 7 sheep in what they call a bid to drive evil spirits out of the chamber. Parliament press officer Sherbek, whatever his name is, said almost all the deputies attended Thursday morning's, this is from April 21st, Thursday morning's traditional ceremony. He says the meat from the slaughtered animals will be sent to homes for the elderly and the disabled. The impoverished Central Asian nation's fragile three-party coalition has descended into a flurry of squabbling, how do you think? Deputies from two parties in the fragile coalition government even came to blows earlier this month, and so forth. So it marked the first anniversary of a bloody uprising that led to the ouster. This month marked the first anniversary of throwing out a previous, dictator. But, I mean, I thought this was interesting that they decided to sacrifice 7 sheep to drive the evil spirits out of the chamber. Good. Okay, well...
We need a lot more than
6
that.
6 wouldn't have worked.
No, 6 wouldn't have worked. And I mean, you know,
well, they talked to the ombudsman or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Earth thing, right ever. Okay, the next thing I've got here, which is... This is almost a light note, sort of. There happens to be a big hoorah here in Florida against these internet cafes. Now, I mean, when I went to Central America, that's the way you got... that's why I could talk back here. I could, you know, pay them whatever you paid them, and you get online and you could get your email and everything like that. It's a regular internet cafe. cup of coffee. You could sit there and, you know, browse and everything else, at whatever it was, dollar an hour, 50 cents an hour, whatever. The internet cafes here, however, are a little different. What you do is you pay for time, all right, but you have a chance to actually win some money. Hmm. You can go on this site, and you, I don't know how it works. I haven't been over there yet, but you go on this site that they recommend. I guess it's maybe the home, the browser page or something like that. Cash prize sweepstakes have proliferated across Florida in recent years, raising the ire of critics who say the establishments amount to gambling parties.
Gambling!
That cause trouble for communities.
Sin!
Now, what? Apparently, I don't know how they've done it, but they've gotten around the law of raw gambling, okay? That's not, in other words, it's not a slot machine, like a video slot machine, but it's a internet, and the part of it is that they're nonprofit organizations. They donate a lot of money to charities, and they and the number of the locations offering this electronic game or drawings vary from 350 to 1,000 across the state, but they don't know. Gainesville here has 11 such locations, with 7 on the east side of town. Now, for those of you, the east side of town is, yes, I don't have to tell you what this on.
You're gambling
side.
With your life just going over there.
Well, yeah, right. So anyway, but what's funny, what is funny about this is there's so many things that are hysterical about this in a way. First of all, they've gotten around the law because you can actually do regular internet stuff there. You don't have to play this game. And it's a, I don't know if it's a game of chance or whatever it is, but it's some kind of a sweepstake thing. And they've done it as a nonprofit charity organizations, and there's an exemption here in Florida, like the Rotary Club or something like that. So they're holding themselves, I guess, like that. Anyway, they've raided them, and then they've just popped right back up again because obviously there's some real money to be made. I mean, people love this stuff. They sell internet time by the minute or phone calling cards and give customers so many entries in a random drawing that are loaded into the card or the account. Customers can use their internet time or a code on the phone card to play a casino-style games on cabinets that look like slot machines on desktop computers to reveal the results of the drawings. So, point being that what's so funny about this is the usual suspects have come out of the woodwork saying that gambling is evil, you know,
evil.
Crime, you know, drugs, prostitution, all together, gambling. And there's two or three things that are important about this. First of all, the proliferation of these, nobody forces people to walk into these things, number one. The only way the state...
They can't help it, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, of course, the thing about it is these things must pay off better than the lottery. Which was gambling, which is real gambling. Because the lotto here in Florida, all the lottery games, and you only need to understand that they change the quick pick games, the rub-off games, like every day. Because people they realize that they're not going to win any money on the old quick pick game, so there's a new one. So that's number one. But the lottery here pays off around 33%. The worst gambling in Las Vegas, which is Keno, pays off at 83%. So the point is that for every dollar you bet, you get 83 cents back. Here in Florida, on the lottery, for every dollar you put in, you get 33
cents.
Yeah,
but it goes to education, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah, right. Don't you wish, yeah. Right. Okay,
it's all for the children.
Okay, but that's, of course, how these people get around. They are giving to veterans groups and so forth. It's charity. They're nonprofit.
It's all for our children.
Yeah, and that. So my point is this. The only way the lottery can... The real reason for this is...
Well, when
they're
I say
worried about
children,
the Florida Lotto going out of business because people are going to actually get a better deal on another gambling. The only way the state can survive in any competitive environment is to outlaw the competition. I mean, wouldn't that be nice if, you know, if...
Well, and get ready for more and more of that because
right.
as the economy gets tighter... That's what the government inevitably does.
Well,
they'll raise the minimum wage. They'll lower the maximum wage. They will...
Well, not only that, what they do is... Then what they do is, like with education, it's not so much that they outlaw the private schools. They regulate the hell out of them. But what they do is they make the competition virtually free.
Right.
So, I mean, there's no private buses here, for instance, in
right,
town
not,
because they're subsidized to hell, you know.
That's exactly what the whole Obamacare is.
Right.
And they say, oh, we're not going to compete with the private system. We're just going to give away health care.
Right.
And, you know, if people don't want it, I mean, you know, they can...
Well, except for the fact
that...
If it's
no good, I heard Eleanor Cliff, if it's no good, you know, then they can have their own.
The problem is with the mandate, you still got to pay.
Right.
And see, that's the thing.
So you've already paid once,
yeah.
And now you get to pay twice.
Well, it's like with a private school or public. You know, you're still going to pay, you know, a bunch of money for the public school. So basically, I get to send my kids and somebody else's kid to school.
Woohoo!
Yeah. That's right. And of course, that school happens to have a 30% dropout rate.
You're a charitable person, Jim.
Yeah, not that much. I'm and did we talk about the comp plan last time?
What's that?
Yeah.
We
yeah,
did.
Yeah, the okay. comprehensive plan yeah. for the thing. Yeah.
yeah. Okay, so.
Real comprehensive.
Yeah. Well, I say what they've added, I didn't might not have mentioned it, but they've added energy and health now, which means there were six areas of the comprehensive plan. You know, again, basically it's supposed to make sure that you build the build your houses in an area that can be serviced by the utilities. But now they're going to add energy and health, and of course they're going to, and part of the health is the bike routes, walkability.
Man, you talk about, you know,
it's total control.
Energy prices have absolutely doubled in the last year. I mean,
yeah, I mean, pretty much they've gone up. Well, it's gone up a little over a dollar in the last year. Gas, it was $2.85 or something this time.
I know my bills were always $100 a few years ago, and now they're always $200.
Except for the car you've got, of course, is a monster.
No, I'm talking about
electricity.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, did you buy more computers or something?
No. Nope.
You leave your lights on all the time, or what?
No. Nope.
Okay. I thought you were talking about your car. Okay. All right. Well, I'm done. You got anything else?
No. Just that one thing about the federal employee, I guess, is sent around that the quote unquote racist Obama email.
Right.
With the, you know, like the family of chimps with Obama as the baby.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't think it was racist. I thought it was speciesist. It's an insult to chimps.
Yeah, all right.
But, you know, it did remind me of one thing, that old adage that if you have, it's an infinite amount of monkeys typing on an infinite amount of typewriters, they'll write all the plays of Shakespeare or whatever. And I think that what Obama's decided is that he's replaced monkeys with government employees and typewriters with spending. And it's going to solve all the problems.
Well, I leave you all with this. Buy gold.
Buy gold. And, buy gold, by golly.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard a couple of good jokes, actually. You'll like this. Mr. Math. Jimmy's got a master's in mathematics. There's a mathematician. He's sitting there smoking a cigarette on his desk, and it lights up his work, you know? And so he runs over to the wall, and he grabs the fire extinguisher, and he puts it out. And the next day, he's working on another problem, and he just this time he just throws the cigarette into the trash can, and again the fire escapes on paper, and he throws the flaming pile of letters on his desk because he's already solved that problem before.
Right.
Then I got one more. This is a short one. Three statisticians go deer hunting. Three statisticians go deer hunting, and the first one crouches down low, takes a shot, misses.
Well, they see a deer.
Yeah, they see a deer, right. They take a shot, and it veers wide left. The other statistician stands up, takes a shot, and it veers wide right. And the third statistician jumps up and explains, "We got him!"
That's it.
All righty, guys, have fun. Write us. Send us donation of some kind. Apple II.
Yep.
Whatever you got. Mystery surprise package. Jimmy.
Hello to EJ, too, by the way.
Yeah, and thanks, Counselor Bart, for writing in. And
yeah.
I'd like to say hi to everybody.
Bible Man.
Everybody out there. Josh.
Anger Dog.
Yeah.